most busted in Laredo, but for reasons that I'd rather not disclose.
I smoke pot, and I like it a lot. Hi, this is Willie Nelson. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer to use than alcohol. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting responsible marijuana smokers in America. And to learn what you can do to help, please contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORMAL.
The show was long and we were just sitting there, and we'd come to play and not just for the ride.
Distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular audio podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, normalaudiostash.com. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. Welcome back to the Audio Stash today. It is Tuesday, June 26th. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment right now to join Normal to end marijuana prohibition in America. Just visit norml.org to get involved today. We're going to focus in on the state of Connecticut today with our Government at Work segment. Major newspaper in Connecticut, The Courant, called today for a special session of the legislature there to overturn the governor's veto of the medical marijuana legislation there. That legislation, of course, passed both houses of the legislature with strong majorities, but not quite enough to automatically trigger a veto override. In our Government at Work segment today, we'll speak with Lorraine Jalbert from the Connecticut Nurses Association. Lorraine is a practicing nurse, and she testified in front of the legislature there advocating for medical marijuana access. Also on the program today, Lorenzo Jones from a Better Way Foundation. He'll talk about the grassroots support for medical marijuana there, along with Cliff Thornton, a Normal board member and also the director of Efficacy Online. Cliff ran for governor of Connecticut last year, and he's got a very special take on the current governor of Connecticut. All of that here today in our Government at Work segment. Also today, we're going to get to replay a great song from a great artist, Keller Williams' song, It's a Plant. Keller, of course, a wonderful folk musician and an incredible guitar player. His record company let us play It's a Plant during our 4:21 special broadcast, and we got permission to play it again today, so I'm glad to present all that to you. Later in the week, we'll speak with Rick Steves, PBS travel host and Normal Advisory Board member. We're going to speak with Tommy Chong here very soon about the Aspen Legal Seminar, and we're going to have some audio from the Aspen Legal Seminar, so we'll listen in on some extremely informative, at times very funny, and also very serious discussions about legal issues with cannabis cases. The Aspen Legal Seminar was a resounding success this year, and it had included lawyers and non-lawyers for the first time for a Normal legal event. So we'll be able to listen in on some of that as well for us lawyers and non-lawyers in the Audio Stash audience. Let's get right into our show today with our Government at Work segment. During Government at Work, we're going to focus in on the Connecticut medical marijuana legislation. That passed the House and the Senate there, but was vetoed by Republican Governor M. Jody Rell. The Connecticut legislation had some of the broadest support among elected officials, organizations, and the public that any bill has yet enjoyed on the subject. Polling showed over 80% of residents there thought medical marijuana access in their state was the right thing to do. Today we'll speak with some of the people on the ground in Connecticut that worked very hard to garner that support. We'll speak with Lorenzo Jones of the Better Way Foundation, Cliff Thornton of Efficacy, and Lorraine Jalbert of the Connecticut Nurses Association. Let's begin with Lorenzo Jones from A Better Way. That group worked extremely hard on grassroots effort to support medical marijuana access. Lorenzo, welcome here to the Audio Stash today.
How you doing?
Doing very well today. Thank you again for joining us. Lorenzo, even though Governor Rell took the nearly outrageous step of vetoing this bill, there was such broad support. It sounds like medical marijuana would really have helped a good-sized group of patients there in Connecticut.
Yes, I mean, medical marijuana, obviously can help a lot of people. It's helped a lot of people around the country. And when we know that, for a number of reasons, right? People are already using marijuana for medicinal purposes. And so what we were attempting to do with the medical marijuana bill was to actually provide protection to people who, for alternative purposes, are already, using it for medicinal purposes. And I think it can work in Connecticut. It will work in Connecticut. The question is whether or not Governor Rell, will follow suit with, the majority of people in Connecticut as well as the House and Senate and support the legislation, if we run it next year. And maybe in the future.
Now, Lorenzo, Normal is filing FOIAs, or Freedom of Information Act, requests right now to find out about the federal government's pressure on Governor Rell. But, was her statement that accompanied the veto a surprise?
It was a very big surprise to us on the ground, because we've always seen Governor Rell, since our inauguration, as like our governor. And though we haven't agreed on everything, we always thought that she was not easily influenced by outside experts. And so at the end of the day, we were set back a bit to see Governor Rell use rationalization from Washington, D.C., or pretty much use their press release, as her veto message.
Now, the governor could have let this pass over her desk without her signature, and it would have become law. Was Governor Rell's veto itself a surprise to you, Lorenzo?
Surprise may not be the right word, but yes. I mean, I don't know if there was a singular more popular bill this legislative session, among Connecticut residents across geographic, ethnic, economic, lines, right? Socioeconomic, across all those lines, 83% of Connecticut's total population said, yeah, do this, in every scientific poll, in every non-scientific poll. So it kind of caught us off guard to see the governor of our state tell 83% of the people, no. And then in the face of, large margins in the House and the Senate, the medical marijuana passing by large margins in the House and the Senate, That was very interesting, because I believe it gave people a different view of, who Governor Rell is and, really how she makes her decision.
And there was also strong support from the Black and Latino community and caucus there in Connecticut for medical marijuana access. We've seen that level of Black and Latino support in particular places like Detroit and Flint, Michigan. Now, what was the stake of those communities in Connecticut there, and where did their support for this bill come from?
That's a very good question. Traditionally, medical marijuana has been run in Connecticut and other places. It's kind of like a progressive bill. It's a progressive thing. It's a right thing to do. It's a compassionate thing to do. In Connecticut's law, though, in 2007, we made a special point of adding the piece where patients and caregivers who are, in compliance with the medical marijuana program, We paid special attention to providing those people an affirmative defense in court, which in essence means, right, that if a patient or caregiver was arrested and in compliance with the medical marijuana program, that they would, in essence, have a certain amount of protection under the Connecticut law. And so you know, when that piece was introduced, right, we sat and talked with members of the Black Latino Caucus, and namely Deputy Speaker of the House, State Representative Marie Kirkley Bay. And we said to her, you know, the reality is that suburban and rural whites, or suburban and rural black folks, don't necessarily need protection for medical marijuana, right? They don't live under the same police deployment. So in urban communities where you have school zones, in urban communities where you have, you know, more traffic stops and the police deployment is much more intense, we believe that patients and caregivers in those areas needed that particular piece of the bill the most, because they're the ones most likely to get stopped for a seatbelt check and end up with a drug charge. So the Black Latino Caucus kind of took that and said, now this makes sense, right? As we kind of look at, you know, our urban communities and our communities of color, right, that this is not just an opportunity to protect patients and caregivers across the board, but we also can have a conversation here, right, about protecting, right, you know, maybe some of the even more vulnerable patients and caregivers, right, inside communities of color.
And also, Lorenzo, did you find support for medical marijuana based on just the inexpensive nature of it for patients at a time when healthcare, especially prescription medication, has just skyrocketed in price?
Yeah, I mean, yes, that's one. I believe that's one reason. But I believe maybe a more universal reason why marijuana is accepted as a, you know, it's a medicinal use is accepted is also because the public has a lot of information on marijuana. They know, you know, they know the history of it. They know how it plays out in their communities. And they know that it's not the drug that creates, you know, crime and violence, right? And so the fact that it can actually be framed in a medicinal or cast in a medicinal framework makes marijuana a bit more palatable, right, to the larger community. And what we found through our conversations on the ground, we facilitated the compassionate use campaign throughout Connecticut. What we found on the ground was that, you know, people prefer to spend much more of their resources on drugs that were did much more damage to the larger community. So using marijuana for medicinal purposes actually helped reframe conversations with young people around marijuana use and recreational use of marijuana by the general public to be more of a medicinal purpose, a medicinal value.
We're with Lorenzo Jones of the Better Way Foundation in Connecticut. Lorenzo, many times we see the focus of legislation like this really stay narrowly on medical marijuana only. But this legislation in Connecticut, even as it was being debated, did seem to open up somewhat of a broader debate there.
Yes. We sat down last year this time, and we being a Better Way Foundation, Representative Bakayaki, and folks that would work on this, the lobbyists who obviously ran this stuff at the Capitol, and we really developed a game plan that said traditionally we've organized patients and caregivers and doctors. And what we decided to do last year was, or a better way decided to do last year was say, you know, those people are the people that are most vulnerable, you know, in this campaign, right? They're the ones that got to tell their personal story. They're the ones got to expose, right, if they quote unquote, you know, are doing, you know, illegal activities or obtain marijuana, right? But the people that really are going to make the difference here and going to really push this thing through the legislature are going to be the general public. People who do not smoke marijuana, who don't have a dog in that fight, but believe that compassion is the way to go. And so we spent the last 10 months, 11 months, really hammering on the ground and walking through with people this conversation about medical marijuana in communities of color, in low-income white communities, rural communities, suburban communities. And then we attached that to the former constituency or the previously organized constituency of doctors, patients, and lawyers, and said, you guys don't have to stand alone on this, right? That the general public, that the larger society is going to stand, they're going to stand with you. And so that really helped to kind of get the word out there in the community and on the ground, in you know, cultural groups, that medical marijuana is, you know, the way to go, and compassion is, you know, the way to go. And without exposing or without jeopardizing, right, our physicians, patients, and caregivers who are already dealing with enough stuff.
And Lorenzo, when it comes to Governor Rell, could this veto have broader implications for her future in politics there in the state, do you think?
I will say that I do know that the perception that Governor Rell is our governor has changed significantly. And yes, right, they did a budget, or they're doing a budget, and they're going to, and we also worked on Raise the Age, and we worked on gun violence, lost stolen firearms, and we worked on pardons and all those things. But I think medical marijuana has a different twist to it, because what Governor Rell vetoed was not a marijuana bill, right? What Governor Rell vetoed was 83% of Connecticut's wish, you know, population's wishes. And I think people's response to that is, they've always told us, and we fielded a number of calls in our organization, that people have always told us that if we speak, and if the majority of folks stand up and they speak, that the politics will listen, and the politicians will act accordingly. And what Governor Rell did in her veto was not veto a marijuana bill, but she vetoed 83% of Connecticut's with people, population's wishes. And I think that that's going to have a major impact on whether or not people, right, not only trust Governor Rell, but it's going to have a major impact on whether or not people trust the system, the political system in Connecticut. Because Governor Rell's not the only person here, right? Where's the response from the Democratic leadership on the fact that she vetoed a bill that they passed by such a wide margin?
Indeed. Well, Lorenzo, I want to thank you for taking time to speak with us here today on Normal's Daily Audio Stash. I look forward to speaking with you again very soon in the future. Thank you again, Lorenzo.
Excellent. Thank you for having me.
Lorenzo Jones is with A Better Way Foundation in Connecticut. Next up, we're going to speak with Lorraine Jalbert from the Connecticut Nurses Association. Important voice joining us today for our coverage of Connecticut's medical marijuana legislation comes next from the Connecticut Nurses Association. They supported medical marijuana access. On the phone with us is Lorraine Jalbert, herself a practicing nurse and chairwoman of the Professional Practices Committee at the Connecticut Nurses Association. Lorraine, thank you for joining us here today.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Thanks again for taking time to speak with us. I know you're very busy up there. Now, the Connecticut Nurses Association officially supported this medical marijuana access legislation, which passed with strong majorities through the legislature and Senate. You yourself offered testimony to the elected officials there. Lorraine, tell us where the support of the organization came from.
Well, it started a long time ago throughout my nursing practice. My areas of expertise are oncology, AIDS, and hospice. So throughout my career, I've seen how marijuana has helped people where traditional medicine hasn't. But in 2004, I had the opportunity to attend the third National Clinical Conference on Cannabis Therapeutics in Charlottesville, Virginia, where it opened my eyes to all the research that has proven its efficacy. And coming back into the state, I championed for the Connecticut Nurses Association to sponsor the resolution at our conference to declare that Connecticut Nurses Association would also support it. That was the impetus. In 2005, I presented testimony at the legislature in favor of the bill, the Senate never voted on it. And again, this year, I presented testimony in February in favor of the bill also.
And during your testimony, did you find that legislators there were knowledgeable about medical marijuana access?
They were very sophisticated on the issue, and they also were very, very supportive. And there were other people there testifying. There were a couple of physicians, that also presented testimony. So it was clear this year that they really, really were going to work hard to get it passed in both houses, which they did. And unfortunately, Governor Rell had the poor insight of vetoing it.
Now, she did have the option of letting it pass her desk without her signature.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which would have been a wise choice, because it, you know, it would have neither. I don't know what information she received to, you know, to make her veto it, but you know, it's unfortunate that people in Connecticut will have to take drastic measures and go against the law to try to obtain marijuana for suffering family members.
And Lorraine, as a nurse who's worked with patients in extreme and chronic pain, I wonder if you can comment about individuals who do choose medical marijuana over or in concert with opioids or other narcotic pain medications to relieve their condition.
Not all narcotics or other adjuvant therapies relieve entirely the pain, and you know, smoking marijuana, for some reason, it served the need that, you know, the traditional narcotics don't, especially for neuropathic pain, which is very, very difficult to control. I know for myself, you know, being a healthcare professional, if you sort of have to give an unspoken consent or not being, that you're not also looking down on people, you know, that are afraid of even mentioning it to you that, you know, I've been smoking marijuana. So people just don't talk about it even though they do it. So as a health professional, you have to sort of give have an atmosphere of acceptance, and that people are not afraid to, you know, to tell you like it is. And 'cause patients lie to doctors, to nurses, to everybody if they feel that what they're going to say won't be accepted well.
And it sounds like patients, you know, from a nurse's perspective here, please tell me, that patients who are in pain are seeking out relief from cannabis frequently out there already.
Mm-hmm. Right. They hear from others, you know, well, I've tried it and, you know, I'm so much better, you know, it's I can function. Because when somebody is in pain, it takes up their so much energy that people cannot focus on anything else. Therefore, it decreases the quality of their life.
And with the Connecticut Nurses Association, you know, with your organizational support and a really huge majority of lawmakers and the public behind this, do you feel that even with this recent veto, that legal medical marijuana access is in the near future for Connecticut residents?
Yes, I'm sure that it's going to be brought back, and you know, hopefully, a third time around, it's going to be a go. You know, I was really hoping that this was it. You know, after both houses approved it, but unfortunately, they didn't get the veto-proof majority.
Righto. Well, Lorraine, I really appreciate, again, you taking time to join us here today. I hope we can speak with you again here on the program. Thank you very much.
Okay, very good.
Lorraine Jalbert is a practicing nurse and chairwoman of the Professional Practice Committee of the Connecticut Nurses Association. They supported Connecticut's medical marijuana legislation. Next up on the program, we're going to speak with Cliff Thornton. He's a member of the Normal Board of Directors. He's director of Efficacy Online. He also ran for governor up there in Connecticut just last year. Stay tuned. Joining us next to weigh in on Connecticut's medical marijuana legislation is Normal Board of Directors member and director of Efficacy Online, Cliff Thornton. Cliff, welcome back to the Audio Stash today.
Thank you again for having me on your show. Great show.
Cliff, it's always great to speak with you, although I wish we were lauding the full passage of medical marijuana in Connecticut instead of discussing this veto. I know you work to promote the passage of this, and again, folks, this bill passed both bodies of the Connecticut legislature with strong majorities. Cliff, I wanted to get your take on the veto here.
Well, I mean, in many instances, yes, you can say we lost. However, with every negative, there is a positive, and the positive aspect of this, the way in which it came about, is that now we have the opportunity to get more notoriety in and around this, hopefully by looking at them overriding her veto in the special session next month of the state legislature of Connecticut.
Now, we saw that happen just last week in Rhode Island, where the legislature overturned the governor's veto of medical marijuana and made their state program permanent. So is there some hope that that will happen in Connecticut as well?
There's a real possibility, but again, more importantly, the issue of the greatest importance is to keep this cannabis issue in the news. See, because I've been told by countless state legislators that it's time to put the pressure on the federal government. And the only way we can do that is through state laws being enacted with this, hopefully overriding this veto.
Even the veto by Governor Rell made national news and headlines, so it really does keep the issue out in the forefront no matter what.
That is, you're absolutely correct, and this is the way in which we're looking at it, and hopefully in the coming weeks we will have some sessions to really discuss this and how we're going to approach this with the state legislators.
And Cliff, you ran for governor of Connecticut, and you've got a unique take on Connecticut gubernatorial politics here. When we spoke with Lorenzo Jones from A Better Way, he seemed very surprised that Governor Rell would end up towing the federal line here. Did that surprise you as well, Cliff?
No, not at all. Governor Rell plays the politics to the hilt. And I saw this through the run for governor in the Green Party with the Green Party ticket. She's very good at that, and I expected her to veto the bill, but I also I didn't expect her to sign it. But the thing that we were looking for and hoping for was just not to sign it at all and let it just pass into law. But that didn't happen, obviously.
And having interacted with Governor Rell on a very unique level here as an opposing candidate for office, is there a sense here that having her go against so much of the legislature in the state on this veto, that there's a real weak spot in her political future there?
Well, the rumor and the scuttlebutt is that she's not going to seek re-election already, because she came forth with an education package that looked much like what we were saying. And matter of fact, four or five sentences were verbatim as to what I said about education and tying that back into drug policy. She didn't tie it back into drug policy. It was just the four or five statements verbatim. But her political future, I don't know. It at this particular point in time, it does not look bright, because every week it seems that there's something coming out of her office that is negative and to the contrary of what a politician should be.
And just to be clear here, there was such strong support that this veto really does not mean that medical marijuana will go away. I mean, this issue will be back soon, if not this summer in a special session, as you mentioned.
Well, this is what we're hoping for, and we're looking to put forth many bills that in the next session that deal with drug policy reform. We're already in the talking stages for that. So I think drug policy will be alive and well in the state of Connecticut for years to come. This is a surge forward that is gaining momentum not only in the greater Hartford area but throughout the state of Connecticut. And again, the politicians are looking for activists such as myself and Lorenzo Jones from A Better Way to push these issues forward so they can come forth with what they think should be done. And as you saw with this last legislative session, there were many state legislators who in the past were totally against what we were trying to do have now come over to our side. So we're making progress, but progress, as you well know, is incremental, and it takes time to get there. But the biggest thing that we can do is to keep this in the news and to really upset the feds to the point where they're looking to come into the state and shut things down. If you saw the polls in California, the moment that the feds came down and started arresting those people coming out of those places with handcuffs on their bed, that the numbers rose as far as the people looking to not only legalize medical cannabis, but also legalize cannabis for the general population.
Cliff, it really was heartening to hear from you today about the massive level of grassroots support for medical marijuana in Connecticut.
Yes. It's taken a while to get there, and I always like to compare it to things like the gay rights movement. Before the gay rights movement, very few people knew gay people. But now there's not a person that you talk to that doesn't know a gay person. The same thing is happening with drug policy reform. There are many people in the closet, so to speak, but by running for governor, by having these drug policy reform campaigns, it has made people feel a lot more comfortable to come forth.
Well, Cliff, thank you again for taking time to speak with us today, and I look forward to speaking with you again very soon, the sooner the better about all of this.
Okay. Thank you for having me, Chris.
Righto. Thank you again, Cliff. Cliff Thornton is a member of the Normal Board of Directors. He's the director of Efficacy Online, and he ran for Connecticut governor last year. We have links to his website on ours at normalaudiostash.com. We have links to his website on our own at normalaudiostash.com. Stay tuned. We got some music coming up.
You're listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash.
Next up today, I am pleased to offer you this next most fine piece of music, one of the best songs about marijuana really I've found out there. And I look for marijuana songs every single day on the internet. This is Keller Williams. The song is It's a Plant. This is a live performance of it. We got special permission from his record company to play it here. We have links to Keller's albums and his iTunes pages up on our website today at normalaudiostash.com. Keller's on tour right now. You can find out where he's playing up on his website again. Keller Williams, It's a Plant.
It's a plant, but it can't grow freely, at least not in this space and time. Or can we begin? Shouldn't it be a sin? You're fighting against the soldiers of sense that brings a peace to my mind. Peace to my mind. Oh, why is it a crime? It's against the law, and I hope this freeze will thaw before I die from a space and time. And the politics, the folks who the nation picks, are they high? I'm afraid to try. They're afraid to try. Oh, why is it a crime? But whatever you do, we can make sure it's the right thing for you. But if you pass, please allow us to roll around in the grass, because it's time. It's 420. 24/7, 365. and the nation's debt makes the man upset. We know that they know that the answer is in this space and time. Create work, just plow the fucking dirt. Medicine clothes and the paper makes my head feel so fine. My head feels so fine. Oh, why is it a crime? But whatever you do, you make sure it's the right thing for you. But if you pass, please allow us to roll around in the grass, because it's time, it's 420, 24/7. 365. Well, is it meant to be? Is it that far away from reality? Open up the world's mind and free the kind. It can lube the cars, mellow out the bars, make room in jail for the killers in this time. Because it's just the plan, but it can't grow freely.
That was Keller Williams with his song, It's a Plant. That was a live performance of it. Keller's just an amazing guitar player. We have links to his websites and his iTunes pages up on our website today at normalaudiostash.com. Many thanks to Keller and his record company for making that track available to us here at the Audio Stash. Stay tuned all week this week. We're going to speak with Rick Steves. We're going to have some audio from the Aspen Legal Seminars. We're also going to have some more great music for you this week. I just got permission for some Snoop Dogg. And we'll have that probably on Thursday. Tune in every day right here to Normal's Daily Audio Stash. You've been listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about every day's show. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 420 tomorrow. Podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.